Akron, Ohio. This is episode 228 of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we are talking about the trope cute is evil, and we're going to talk about our top five examples of cute being evil. But first, as always, I'm your host, Nick, and today I'm joined by plaid?
Yep. Sir.
You got some flowers going on, I believe.
Eva.
And in a gray polo.
And Kyle.
All right.
Is that a long-sleeved polo? Oh, no, I have short sleeves. Okay.
You can't
and,
see.
And PJ
this is where the sleeves stop. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm wearing shorts myself and a Godzilla t-shirt.
That's a good one.
Do you think Godzilla counts as being cute? He's kind of cute in his own way.
In a city-destroying way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but sometimes he's helpful. He fights off bad guys too.
What about that Godzilla versus Bambi short film?
What is it?
Cute. Mm-hmm. Now he's got like a cartoonish foot.
It was like an old online video. I vaguely remember this.
No, I rented it from Hollywood Video when I was a kid.
What am I thinking of then?
Yeah,
it's actually an
online like from 1969.
Oh, I'm thinking of something different.
Weird. So whose idea was this one?
I think it was actually my idea.
And your list is, you're not proud of your list?
What was it about?
Well, it might have been a random trope roll, though.
Oh, all right. Well,
No, this was pointed at one particular thing, which I know I put on my list. So we'll see if.
Man, I guess I forgot.
I don't know about your guys' lists, but mine is pretty spoilery, or it's got a few spoiler things in it. So I don't know if we want to say that before.
The
entries, because not that this trope is always that way, but I don't know. It can easily be, I'd say.
Yeah, it sort of can, because like if it's something where you think something is cute and sweet and endearing, and then it ends up, you get the rug pulled out from under you.
Yeah.
That can be a little bit of a spoiler, but not always. I feel like a lot of times there's like this weird juxtaposition between something that is cute and evil, and you know it's both.
I think we can still do just put the spoiler alert on there.
What genre do you guys think use this the best?
I think it's most often in like it's generally used for comic relief in some way. I think that seems to be the most often, for sure. I don't know if it uses it the best yet, because there's a couple on my list that are not comedy that I think are great.
Yeah, I mean, I think horror uses it a decent amount. Like, this sort of falls into like the creepy kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they don't necessarily overlap, but they're sort of related anyway. Where a kid that is creepy becomes extra creepy because it's not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of playing with the same idea, where something that's cute being evil is like there's a cognitive dissonance there that makes it a little bit interesting.
And it kind of goes along with something like music boxes too, and in horror movies, how
they're
playing really cute music, but they're not cute anymore when they're in those movies.
Yeah, and then I guess sci-fi too sort of follows under this a decent amount, just because it gives you the ability to create little cute monsters.
Yeah,
which I don't know about you guys, but I've got one of those on my list.
I don't watch a lot of anime, but I feel like this would also go along with that. Mm-hmm. Where like everything in anime is either like really terrifying or really cute. I think so. I don't know. I guess one of my answers is technically anime, but
I imagine there'd be a lot of video games too. I mean, like a lot of the Sonic the Hedgehog series and anything like that.
Yeah, that's surprisingly. Yeah, I guess I have a few, but not. And my list isn't completely video games. But
yeah, that's another thing, though, where you can like create your own bad guy from scratch. And it's not like a cute person or a cute kid. It's like a cute little creature that you made up as a drawing.
Yeah.
You guys want to jump into our lists?
Yep, let's do it.
Sure. All right. Kyle, what is your number five?
I think for my number five, I'm just going to go with the flower from Undertale, which is definitely a spoiler. It's this little character that you meet at the beginning of the game. And depending on how you play that game, I'm pretty sure it's not always your ending, but the ending that most people get, the thing turns into the most terrifying thing. And like, it's really hard to explain, but yeah, it's such a strange story. And I only played it once and it was a few years ago, so I don't remember the details. I just remember being completely shocked by the transformation that happens at the end. And it just starts out as this little sunflower. But I think it's one of those things where it like tells you not to kill something and you do. And then you do that at the beginning of the game. And then at the end of the game, it's like you're kind of paying for it. So yeah, that'd be my number one. I think his name is Flowey or Flowey? Flowery? I don't know. The flower from Undertale. Eva, would be your number five?
Oh, I'm trying to figure out what order my list goes in. My number five is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh, nice.
Specifically because it was, you know, they kind of conjured in the movie in an effort to not think of anything evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens anyway. I thought it was cute when I was a kid.
It is pretty cute.
Yeah, I think it counts for sure. And, you know, that villain was so iconic for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like instantly recognizable.
Not just for a while, but even now, like there, I saw a teaser for the new, Ghostbusters. I don't know if it's a reboot or reimagining or whatever the hell we want to call it, but there was a teaser that had a little tiny Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and Paul Rudd. I'm trying to be better about like not judging movies before I see them, but that seems just like such a cynical cash grab that
I mean, do we need another like happy-go-lucky cop movie?
No. Is he a cop in it?
Or Ghostbusters are cops. They're arresting ghosts. I think there was like a whole libertarian anti-environmentalist angle to the first one too.
Yeah,
that is like, true.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah, it's not great, but sir, what's your number five?
Well, for one, even though it's not my number five, I kind of expanded to like badass adorable, and so not all of mine are evil. Yeah, this first one certainly is. The Dread Killer Rabbit of Carbonog from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which I think is the only good Monty Python movie for the most part. It's a classic. I think it's the trope namer for the killer rabbit.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, when it gets me every time when they're all just really incredulous. And he's just like, look at the bones.
Look at the bones. Yeah. That one was like number six on my list.
Yeah. It's so good. It's such a gory and shocking scene. And they really sell it. Like the actors are the key to that whole thing. They just really put it over.
Just the sight of it like flying from neck to neck is
yeah. And the fact that like he bites them, yet he like takes their heads off. You know, it's like he doesn't even have jaws big enough to do the damage that he does yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really great. And then of course the holy hand grenade is another just great moment.
Yeah, for sure.
Nick, what's your number five?
My number five, I am going to go with a tie from the Mario franchise. I'm going to go with both the Shy Guys, which I think are very cute, and then the Piranha Plants.
Mm. Yeah.
That's really I like both cute. Of those. Really, like, the Mario franchise is probably the cutest, I would say, in terms of, the, like, all the little turtles are pretty cute, too. The mushrooms walking around. That's...
Yeah.
And there's like a lot
some of Bowser's kids too are pretty cute.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like and there's Bowser Jr. Like there's a whole plethora. Mario, very cute franchise, full of little things that are trying to kill you. So
yeah. Did you know that Piranha Plant's a playable character in Smash Brothers?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the
did you download that one?
Yeah, I think that might be the last one that I've unlocked. I don't know if there are more after that.
Yeah, well, you have to buy them, but yeah, they've released a lot more. But I just remember when they announced that, it was super strange, but pretty cool.
Yeah. Kyle, what's your number four?
My number four would be the Woodland Critters from South Park. I wasn't watching the show when they came to it, but I did play the Fractured Butthole game, and you actually fight them in it, and they're also just terrifying in that, because I forget when it is exactly, but you're fighting them alongside Santa, and it's just like, I remember being a pretty difficult fight. But then I watched the first episode that they were in from South Park, and it's just terrifying, like Happy Tree Friends. And I was just like, okay, this is, I don't know how long they're around for, do you know, like in the show, if they stay around for very long, or
I don't think so, but I haven't watched the show in forever.
The Woodland Critters who are really, I mean, designed to be super cute and also pure evil. So evil would be your number four.
My number four are Mogwai.
The band Mogwai?
No.
I don't know what they look like. They might be cute.
The band?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mogwai were damn, those things are adorable. The rest of the movie, questionable. but those little critters are adorable. Yeah. Begs the question, though. I mean, at what point are you allowed to start feeding them again? They never covered that.
Yeah, don't feed them after dark, or is it after midnight?
Midnight, but then they never, like, is it just when the sun comes out you can feed them again?
Yeah, like if you feed them at 5 a.m., is that too early?
Yeah.
Who's to say?
I think it's sunrise, because I think in Gremlins 2, there's a whole thing of like exposing them to sunlight, ain't it?
Oh, man. What were we watching? Oh, we watched Mitchells versus the Machines
a few
days ago. The Furby scene was pretty awesome. Lisa brought out her Furby, and it was terrifying when she turned that thing on. I was just like, what? Why was this so popular?
Because of Mogwai. And it could learn, and it talked to you. You know, like your cell phone now. That's what prepared us for smartphones.
It was too much.
Yikes.
Sir, what's your number four?
So my number four, I think it's going to actually be the only official badass adorable. So it's We Three. It's a comic book miniseries by Grant Morrison from 2004. The trade paperback was 2005. And it's these three animals. They're like, it's a dog named Bandit, a cat named Tinker, and then a rabbit named Pirate they're kidnapped by the military, and they're turned into these like super weapons. So they have the like mind laying devices, machine guns, razor claws, and of course they escape. And it's kind of like Homeward Bound, only they have only their mechs. And it's just a really great story. There's a lot of like kind of animal rights stuff built into it. And, you know, Grant Morrison talks about like animal experimentation and all of that. Yeah, just a really beautifully drawn and written story. The action's really great. And yeah, if you can find it, folks, definitely track that one down. So it's We Three, like W-E and then three. Nick, what is your number four?
I'm going to go with Nibbler, which is Leela's pet from Futurama. This is a little tiny Nibbler creature. It's quite small, and it turns out that it just devours everything in its sight. This one's maybe stretching the definition a little bit, because he's not evil per se. He's more like a wrecker of havoc. But he definitely causes a lot of trouble given his voracious appetite, which is juxtaposed with how cute and small he is.
And that's the thing, is it's he's eating things. So he's trying to survive, you know, he's not However, it gets a little more ominous when you realize how intelligent he is.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, you know, the whole thing at first is that, oh, Nibbler doesn't know any better yet. Of course, is that revealed that he's like the emperor of his planet, and throws a little bit of a spin on things.
Yeah.
He looks like a tuxedo cat too, doesn't he? Or am I thinking of a different pet?
No, he's like black and white.
Mm-hmm. Like this guy.
Yeah, a little bit. Is that a Nibbler?
It might be. That might explain a lot about him, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is a lot of your stuff disappeared?
No, not that I can tell. I wish you would do something about this woodchuck outside, but I think they're friends.
I've got a great woodchuck story, but it actually involves like a video clip, so it won't work very well. Anyways, is it on Kyle? Is it your number three?
Three. I'm actually swapping out something. I had Dolores Umbridge on my list, but I'm kicking her off for Inky, Pinky, Blinky, and Clyde from Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know why you thought you talking about Voracious Appetite. I was like, why does that? Like, yeah. I feel like there's something, but yeah. A few weeks ago, I got really into a game called Pac-Man 99. It's basically like a battle royale where you play Pac-Man against 98 other people. And I won a game against everybody, and it was like really satisfying. But I never really thought that they were that terrifying. I thought they were pretty cute, but they are definitely trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my number three. Evo, it'd be your number three.
My number three is Rhoda Penmark from The Bad Seed, who is beloved by almost all of the adults for, you know, being impeccably dressed and having nice manners and liking old lady things. And she is a remorseless killer.
Blah.
How old is she? She's been on the list a lot. On the lists over the last few years.
Well, I know we've talked about it. Like, I remember us talking about it on Twitter in the last year when it was on TV, but I don't know if we've ever talked about it on the show. I mean, not maybe, I know I would have brought it up when we did Creepy Kid, but not since then.
When's the ill-advised remake coming out?
Yeah, I was just thinking, who would it be? Yeah.
Like, is there really a kid actor nowadays that's making that much noise?
Yeah, it'd be like the kid from Room or something. How old's the kid got to be?
She's like 10. She's not much more. Yeah, she's not older than 10.
If they made it like right now, the girl from Flora Project. Because I think she was like 7 when that came out. And that movie's maybe 3 years old. It's a cool movie. Yeah.
I was going to jokingly say, what's her name from Ozark, the blonde? she's terrifying.
I haven't seen Ozark. She's great.
She's great. I mean, she's great in it, but she's also just like, I'd not want to mess with her. But yeah.
Yeah, she's great in The Americans. What's her name? Julia Garner. She's great in The Americans and was like my favorite. Second favorite performance from last year in The Assistant. Still think Delroy was.
Yeah, Julia Garner was.
Yeah, Delroy was still number one.
Sir, what's your number three?
So my number three is the character Monster Girl from Invincible.
Oh.
And did I grab one of your...
No, just...
Did I poach one?
No, she's just awesome.
Yeah, she's very cool. This is a character that... is afflicted with a curse that when she transforms into her superhero form, which is like a Hulk, like a reptilian Hulk like creature, that she de-ages a little bit. And there's a great storyline in the Invincible comics where he's like in another dimension, and it's kind of like a bunch of the good characters are evil, and they keep talking about how they're going to release like the beast, they call it, and to attack him as he's like running amok in this dimension, in this other dimension. And so they bring out this little baby, and it completely threw me off. I had no idea who it was. And then they like drop him over the I guess the Manhattan Bridge to attack Invincible, and it's Monster Girl, and like she transforms, and at this point, because she's de-aged so much, she's a baby, yet her monster form is like Godzilla sized.
So they don't make it clear in the show, but as she the monster gets
more powerful. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, just a really great kind of taking a character's powers to the logical conclusion, and at that point, she's not even able to control them, of course, because she's a baby. Yeah, really cool character, and really cool how they like. She's almost like one of the kid vampires, you know, because she's got the mind of an adult. She just keeps getting younger. Nick, what is your number three?
My number three, did you guys ever read the comic strip called Get Fuzzy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Get Fuzzy was a comic from like the 2000s, basically, and it sort of stopped, like at least according to Wikipedia, it went on hiatus, but it's been on hiatus for 8 years now. It was a really, really good comic strip. It's about a guy named Rob, and he has two pets. He's got a dog named Satchel, who is actually named after Satchel Paige, which I think is pretty cool. And then he has a cat named Bucky Cat. And I haven't seen this anywhere, but I wonder if, since he has the one named after Satchel Paige, if Bucky is named after Buck O'Neill. But I haven't seen that written anywhere. That's just me positing. But Bucky is a cat. I'm going to read the beginning of his Wikipedia description. Bucky is Rob's self-absorbed and cynical Siamese cat. His ears are nearly always laid back flat on his head, a sign of feline defiance, aggressiveness, and he is missing an upper canine tooth. So he's like the chaotic evil of the triumvirate of Get Fuzzy, whereas Satchel's kind of like, they never did a cartoon or anything like that from this comic strip, but you can just tell by looking at him and the way he is, he would have sort of like a droopy dog manner of speaking, whereas Bucky Cat would be like a Bobcat Goldthwait, just like maniacal energy, and he's always causing trouble. He's
kind of picturing Ren, of Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's always like violent. Like if you just Google image search him, it's a lot of like him smacking people and like growling at people.
Says he's known for his francophobic and anti-Quebec sentiments.
Like I found because Evie's been getting into like she likes Peanuts and we've read Calvin and Hobbes, so I found one of these in the basement. So we've started reading a little bit of these. It's a little bit like above her level compared to something like Peanuts, but I think she has enjoyed it a little bit at least. But there are definitely like Bucky's just always beating up on people.
So.
Yeah, it's funny stuff. So if you haven't checked out Get Fuzzy, I would recommend it if you're into like newspaper comics. Kyle, what is your number two?
My number two is a Pokemon that I feel like I've talked about before. I don't know what the list would be, but it's Drifloon, and it's this balloon Pokemon basically, and it's this, I think it's definitely ghost type, but I don't know if it's anything else. But if you look up some of the entries and like the Pokedex for what it is, some of the entries are really just demonic. Like it's filled with human and Pokemon souls, and that it'll like lead kids away and the kids will just disappear if they like mistake it for a real balloon. It's really terrifying, but
it is cute looking though.
It is. Yeah, it is cute looking, but also just some of the entries of what it is and what it does when it's not, when it doesn't belong to somebody, is pretty terrifying. So yeah, that's my number two. Eva, would be your number two?
My number two is Morty Jr., who starts out cute enough and gets evil very quickly.
Is and he the one that he lies and says he has to like stay in the house?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And at first it's just kind of like, you know, it's a little baby. It has big eyes.
Okay. For some reason I was picturing just evil Morty. But yeah, Morty Jr. Weird. Such a strange story.
Yeah, I think Sirs discussed Morty Jr. on a previous episode, but I keep wondering when he's going to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one that they've really set up really well. He's still in their world. Like he's
still in
his birth. I don't know if they explained it, but I feel like he aged like really quickly.
He did.
That all of them,
like maybe their lifespan isn't very long. I don't know.
Yeah.
With Rick and Morty, anything's possible, I guess.
Gazorpagorp? What is that?
Raising Gazorpagorp.
Mm-hmm. He had the Jack disease from the movie Jack.
Gazorpagorp Garfield.
Jack from director Francis Ford Coppola, starring Oscar winner Robin Williams as Jack, the titular Jack.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I have anything to contribute.
I'm probably like, and maybe this is going to piss a lot of people off, but I'm just not a fan of Robin Williams.
Francis Ford Coppola really directed Jack?
Oh, yeah.
No, Nick just periodically says that he did just to see if we catch him.
I'm trying to get sued for libel against Francis Ford Coppola saying he directed fucking Jack and Patch Adams. Yeah. He didn't direct Patch Adams. Please don't sue me, Francis.
I mean, that would be pretty cool to say.
That would be pretty cool to say.
What, that Francis Ford Coppola sued me because I kept insisting he directed Patch Adams.
Yeah.
Sir, what's your number two?
So my number two is Baby Yoda. And very specifically, Baby Yoda from season two, episode two and three.
I had it on my list.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, Baby Yoda is a mass murderer.
I'm glad you still call him Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Instead of Grogu?
Yeah, Grogu. Yeah.
No,
well, spoilers. That was actually a late add-on. When I was talking about Nibbler, I was like, oh, right. Like, that's what was like on the tip of my tongue. I'm like, I don't know, I've seen something like this recently. And it's him just...
Just devouring...
A bloodline of...
Maybe the last of that species, right?
Exactly. Like, and they set all of that up beforehand. And, you know, you're just expected to go along with it. Like, oh, he doesn't know any better. And the fact that he tries to get him to stop multiple times and he just won't.
That was like a real fucking tonal nightmare, I think, in that show that it didn't do a good job. Like, it played it off for laughs, which doesn't work if you're also supposed to care for the character that they're transporting.
Exactly.
Like terrible writing.
It was horrible. And so then they tried to like kind of sanitize it a little bit. And I think they tried to kind of imply that the male of the species could only fertilize one egg. Yeah. The problem is Baby Yoda didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was just a monster. And the Mando, geez. I mean, he just kind of, he sweeps it under the rug like, oh yeah, like whatever. Just an awful moment. And it really was just like tonally, you're just sitting there like, wow, this is getting worse and worse and more uncomfortable.
So I'm not going to say that these are good movies, but I'm just circling back to Patch Adams. Here's the 90s run, and I'm going to go in reverse order for Tom Shadyac, director. His last movie of the 90s was Patch Adams. He did go on like after that to direct Bruce and Evan Almighty. But before Patch Adams, he did Liar Liar. It was a pretty big hit, I think. Nutty Professor, which was a huge hit. And Ace Ventura Pet Detective, also a pretty big hit, I think. And then his first TV movie was something called Frankenstein, The College Years. There's no Wikipedia link to it. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure Frankenstein, The College Years is incredible.
Well, I don't know. I mean, The Nutty Professor is just bad.
Well, yeah, but it made a lot of money. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, I said like not talking about the quality of any of these movies, okay, but yeah. that like
in but terms prominent in the culture.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of like, one, it made a shit ton of money, and like sort of reinvigorated this weird trajectory for Eddie Murphy's career, like for better or worse. But that's something that like you could drop a Nutty Professor reference and people would still get it 25 years later. That's not nice. I mean, that's kind of bad, but like good for this guy, I guess, in terms of what he was able to accomplish.
What about the fact that he's apparently an outspoken Christian?
Oh, the guy. Oh, I did. Were you talking about the Nutty Professor?
The director, Tom Shadyac.
Oh, I thought you meant the Nutty Professor was an
outspoken Christian. Which is weird because it, I don't know. It spins a lot of those movies for me.
Yeah, well, that is kind of weird that he would do like I never saw Bruce Almighty, but I've.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. Maybe it does have like a weird religious angle to it.
Isn't the movie a weird religious angle to begin with?
Yeah, but you'd think that would
almost be like blasphemous or something.
Yeah. That's what I mean. You would expect it to be like.
Yeah, but they're all hypocrites. So.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Anyways, Grogu was my it was probably gonna just bump out and be my number one. So I can come up with a replacement so that I have something else on the list. So what my number two is gonna be is Gogo Yubari from Kill Bill Volume One. She's like the girl with the didn't she have like a mace?
I was trying to think of the word.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And, it's Morningstar.
Thank you.
Is that what it's called? Okay. So I don't know. Okay. Is there a chain or is it just a stick?
It's a ball on a ball. Chain.
Yeah, it's a ball on a chain. So she her deal is that she's like a Japanese schoolgirl, like the most like exoticized version of a Japanese schoolgirl, and then she's just like a psycho. Killing machine, does a lot of very violent things, and it rules pretty hard.
That's a cool
character.
Phenomenal fight scene. Like that's it's really choreography is. in the movie.
Yeah, it really is. I really want to rewatch that, but I need to rewatch Lady Snowblood and then watch the second one before I rewatch.
Yeah. It. Yeah, that's key. I mean, I don't know if you remember, I was all up in arms when Kill Bill came out about him ripping off so much Chimbera, and it's just like,
you know what though,
you know, it's come back around.
It's still
seen those movies.
And, yeah, it's still so fun to watch. And those movies, I think, are a little
some
more
good things about it.
Yeah, those movies are more accessible now. So,
even if they cut out Michael J. White's scene.
Yeah. I like that movie a lot, and that's one of those things where like over time I've grown to appreciate one more than two. I think like for years it was two is better than one for me, and over the last few years I've sort of like flipped on that.
I think that a lot of his early films have, especially Kill Bill, is much better to me now after Heart Eight, after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like,
you didn't know how good you had it.
Exactly. Yeah, it was like, wow, you know.
I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I think it's one of the worst things. I hate that movie so much.
Oh, it's so good.
I think it's one of the worst movies that came out here.
It's just
terrible. It's his most misogynistic film. I don't know.
It's just dudes hanging out, though. What could be better?
I think worst you guys are dudes. Saying the same thing.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, agree to disagree. I love that movie. Kyle, what is your number one?
My number one falls into pretty big spoilers, so I won't say too much about it, but just Bugsnax. It's a game that came out for PS4 and PS5 last year. You crash land on an island, and you're tasked with catching these little creatures, but they're all food related. So there's like strawberry creatures and things that look like sundaes and different snacks or whatever. And they're adorable. And they're kind of like Pokemon, where they, the only thing that they say is their name. While you catch them, and then the people on the island also eat them. And when they eat them, they their limbs turn into like that food, which is just kind of like weird, but not as evil as it gets later on in the game. But yeah, that's it. It's one of the strangest endings for such like a cute game. It's great. It's a really, really cool, pretty small game, but just ridiculous. But yeah, Bugsnax. Eva, would be your number one?
My number one is much more than the last thing on my list, the most significant cute is evil that I could think of. This is an intervention.
Are we going to do this crap again?
Yeah,
haven't we done this already? Like,
well, yeah, I do feel like it came up at one point. Yeah,
they didn't have coronavirus the last time we talked.
Yeah, because they're super spreaders now.
They definitely are. Nick, we need to talk about otters again.
Okay, they're a part of the animal kingdom. I think that trying to like cancel something from the animal kingdom is like galaxy brain.
Well, there's no such thing as canceling.
We don't need to exterminate otters. However, we need to stop talking about them as if they were cute or
animal. We need to be aware of what they've done
and what they are capable of doing.
Can't imagine caring.
They hold like baby otters hostage from the mothers to steal food from the mom otter. Like,
you guys know
crimes they commit against other species.
You guys know that like most animals do horrible things. Like a very large percentage of animals engage in cannibalism.
It's not a very large number, actually.
Cannibalism, assault,
it's a pretty large number. I think it's over 50% of sea life engages in cannibalism.
And cannibalism, how many of them And how many of them are the subject of like cute greeting cards and children's books and things like that?
Fish do it. I just watched a fish movie today with my 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Blackfish. The most evil of all the fish.
Well, yeah, killer whales are one of the on a short list of mammals that kill for sport, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another sea animal.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about cute as evil.
Yeah, that's something that shows up a lot, is like a cute stuffed animal or
for
otters. Yeah,
no, I think this is
I mean, they're cute, yet they're
a silly argument. Sadistic.
Have you seen Zootopia, Nick?
Yeah. Emmett. Is there an otter in Zootopia?
Emmett Otterton, no, whatever his name is. Mr. Otterton goes nuts.
Oh, isn't that like a character that gets like poisoned or something like that?
He just reverts back to his feral roots. But yeah, I think they classify otters as like up there with jaguars. Like they keep all of the vicious whatever animals. It's a horrible message, but and then they put otters with those other vicious animals. I don't know.
They're terrible.
I think otters are adorable.
I don't care. Like, it's one of those, if you like any animals, this is like, you're just going to have to deal with violence. It's part of like David Attenborough documentaries, things like that. Like part of the animal kingdom is just seeing things get
raped to death,
get killed. So I think it's a stupid argument.
Is it?
I'm sorry. I think it's a really dumb argument.
Is it all otters?
Oh, they're terrible.
Or is it a certain type of otter, like sea versus river versus... They all do these horrible things.
I think they're all horrible.
All right.
Mm. The only good otter.
They're more horrible than other animals.
Did you say the only good otters?
Emmett otter.
Oh,
that's true.
I thought you were going to say the only good otter is the dead otter.
It's really colonial.
Sir, what's your number one?
Runner up, which is, of course, from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, the River Bottom Nightmare Band.
Okay.
Really just probably one of the greatest bands in film history.
I stumbled across some discourse. That
song is so good.
I stumbled across some discourse recently on Twitter, and it was like, sorry, Emmett, but like the River Bottom Nightmare Band deserved to win. Like,
they were so much better. Like, yeah. And it was something me and my kid talked about, that was a cool part of the movie, that even though they're a little rough around the edges, I mean, that's like artistic vigor. They've got everything. They've got the look, they've got the music. Just great job by those kids. So my real number one, though, is from Fables. And that is the comic book Fables. Which is about kind of like all of the fairy tales. They're like in a fantasy war against this adversary that drives them out of their fairy tale land. And part of the fables that look like animals live on the farm. They call it, and it's kind of like the Three Little Pigs, it's any of the like Bagheera, any animals. Puss in Boots is there, and there's a little badger called Brock Blueheart, and eventually the animals on the farm start to feel like they're being mistreated, and they kind of start to like slowly rebel. And Brock Blueheart, he used to be called Stinky. He changes his name to that because he basically starts to spread a cult that believes in Little Boy Blue, which is like a whole other part of the story. Yet, what's cool about it is that he doesn't really have any powers. He doesn't have anything significant about him until he starts this cult. And it's just this great kind of riff on Animal Farm and just showing how like the most dangerous character in that part of the story arc is this charismatic leader that's able to kind of like just stir up all the like minds and hearts of the animals on the farm. Just a really cool story arc in like the whole series. It starts in issue 6. And folks, if you haven't read it, Fables is great. Bill Willingham is the writer, and I always got to recommend it.
That's what The Wolf Among Us is based on, right?
Like
the Telltale game, it's with the big bad or whatever.
Yeah, Bigby Wolf.
Yeah, Bigby. Yeah, that's awesome.
Nick, what is your number one? Or are you just gonna more otter apologetics? Or?
No, otters don't count because they're not evil. So that one would be discounted. Can I tell? The other day I was swimming with my daughter Evie, who's 4, and she had floaties on, obviously. So we're swimming and I was trying to get her to like learn how to do the movement. So I'm like, hey, let's race. She goes, okay, can we hold hands though, so we don't drift apart? Like you're the baby, like I'm the baby otter and you're the daddy otter.
Oh, it was
very cute.
And then you drowned the neighbor kid just to keep playing otters.
So like absurd argument. I wanted to find a way to tie in Pepe the Frog, but it's not cute. It's just like,
oh no.
Yeah.
It's not cute to look at it, but it is
innocuous.
Yeah. Its purpose is the same, like using the same mindset of the trope, but it's just so ugly that I don't think it works. My number one instead, like, not even semi-related then to Pepe the Frog, is Kathy Moffat from Out of the Past, played by Jane Greer. So she's the femme fatale. This is a noir movie from 1947. Robert Mitchum, directed by Jack Tourneur. And I think it's my favorite noir movie. It's just so dark. It looks great.
I love Mitchum in this, and I love Jane Greer is Kathy Moffat, who when the movie starts, you know, one thing about her, that she shot her ex-boyfriend and stole $40,000 from him. And she somehow manages to play this off as a being a damsel in distress, and like her boyfriend is really violent, so you need to help protect me. And she's just like, she does it so demurely that Mitchum's character falls for it hook, line, and sinker. And I think he falls for it
because he also says, you're like a leaf that gets blown from one gutter to another. Like, he knows that she's bad.
Isn't that what he says?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. He falls for it enough that it causes problems throughout.
Oh yeah, except for the rest of the movie.
The remainder of his life. But I think she's maybe my favorite femme fatale too. It's got to be between her and Barbara Stanwyck in Double Indemnity.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's my number one, since Pepe the Frog is not actually cute.
I love how much smoking is in
Out of the Past,
to the point that one character offers another a cigarette and he's already smoking. He's like, cigarette?
It's described as one of the great smoking films.
Absolutely.
Who's the guy who does the TCM
morality? Is it Mueller?
Yeah, he calls it one of the great smoking films.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, the greatest smoking film is now Voyager, because of Paul Henreid's move of lighting two cigarettes and then handing her one.
Yeah. I hate to, it's right there in the title. Yeah. Coffee and Cigarettes was really good, because it made everybody in that generation question our behavior. And I think that's like strongest legacy, that we were like, huh. We really do act like this. we're all headed straight towards lung cancer.
Well, speaking of Jarmusch, I went from in my head Jarmusch to Ghost Dog to Le Samurai, but I think any Alain Delon. Like, Alain Delon was just the coolest dude. Mm-hmm. Not in real life, though. If you read a little bit about Alain Delon, no, I'm not talking about his shitty politics and supporting abusive women now. I'm talking about the fact that he probably had somebody murdered.
Yikes.
No. Yeah. There's a fucking wild story about Alain Delon. There's a whole section. Hold on. Let me find this. Oh, it's a doozy. It's called the Markovic Affair. While making the 1969 thriller La Piscine with Romy Schneider, Delane's friend and bodyguard, Stephen Markovic, was found murdered in a rubbish dumpster near Paris. The police investigation went on to reveal allegations of sex parties involving celebrities such as Delon and members of the government, including future Prime Minister Georges Pompidou, whose wife Claude was allegedly the focus of a series of compromising photos at one such party. And there's a whole, like, there's a lot more. They obviously, he didn't go to jail for it. Alain Delon, not a great dude, but good actor. Anyways, so those were our examples of cute is evil. I also thought about doing Lots of Hug and Bear, but I wasn't sure how. Like, he's, is he
super cute?
Yeah, is he that cute? So I left him off too. That was another one I thought about putting on. Yeah.
And the baby from that one isn't cute either, but terrifying.
From
the second movie or the third movie, Lotso's like henchman, big baby.
Oh, right. Because there's a.
And then what's her face from the fourth one? She's not quite evil enough, I don't think.
She's not cute enough either. She's very creepy.
I think she's cuter than Lotso.
I don't know, the villain in four and then all her henchmen are like very, very creepy.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. We've got the outro bumper from Johnny D.
Yeah, we do.
So
you mix it up or do you use the same one usually?
Yeah, mix it up. Cool. We've got a bunch. So as always, you can let us know your own at onthetrips@gmail.com.
Woo.
I've been Nick.
I've been Sir.
I'm Eva.
And Kyle.
And join us again next time. We are talking about Serval Snarker.
Serval Snarker.
Serval's a weird word, isn't it?
Sounds like a...
Well, the serval's a cat. It's one of those like smaller big cats.
A smaller big cat.
Like an ocelot?
Yeah, like ocelot sized.
Mm. Mm.
On the Tropes podcast. tvtropes.org/podcast/onthetropes. onthetropes@gmail.com. onthetropes.redbubble.com. facebook.com/onthetropes. twitter.com/onthetropes. patreon.com/onthetropes. My beard is rubbing against